Zemlinsky's For der Stadt. It was sung by Stephen Kimbrough with Cord Garbon. This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. Now it's time for World on 3 with Mary Ann Kennedy.
The delicious Fatoumata Diawara, one of the big rising stars of this year, with Sonkolon from her debut album Fatou. And it's precisely that huge success this year that has her starting out tonight's World on 3. You're listening to Mary Ann Kennedy, and tonight we have the honour of revealing the winners of this year's Efroots Albums of the Year. I say we because joining me to talk through the critics' poll results is one of Ifrit's regular contributors, Andrew Cronshaw. Andrew, nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Also tonight, I have a session recorded by a young duo from the west coast of the US whose old-timey flavoured take on new songwriting has been causing something of a holy storm, to take their album title in vain. The session comes from Cahalen Morrison and Eli West, and it is something special. But no more messing about. Let's get to it. Andrew, what kind of a year has it been for World and Roots releases?
It's very hard to say. I mean, it's a big world out there. And so it may well be that, I mean, if you go to another country's world equivalent, they'll be listening to completely different stuff from what we will be listening to. So I think to say, you know, it's been a good year or a bad year is irrelevant, except to say that there are as many CDs coming out as ever. And certainly my end of it, because I mostly get sort of Northern European and Eastern European, Central mm-hmm. European, Spanish things, that sort of stuff. The production values these days are all taken as read, really. You don't really get a badly made album anymore.
It's quite surprising, the quantity and the quality
remain,
despite the fact that...
That nobody's making any money out of it.
Well, yes, there is that, but also that the availability of music online and you know, people will seek out stuff they like and never mind the quality, it's just accessing it.
Yeah, and in a way, I suppose, if you're doing that, if you're just grabbing downloads here and there, then it's the song, isn't it? You know, or the texture of it, and then you move on.
It's the content.
But whereas we're talking about here albums, which are, for me, a complete thing. It's a journey. You go from somewhere and you end up somewhere different.
So we have three categories in the Fruits Awards. The first is Album of the Year, and we are going to keep you waiting a little while as we go through the three runners-up first. So 11 in the shortlist for the Album of the Year instead of the usual 10. That's because of a tie. But that first track, Fatu, definitely right up there. It's in at number 2. What did you think of Fatu Mata?
Well, I didn't go and see her. I was at Womex when she was apparently on and out. And there's so many things on. Womex is the kind of world music expo thing. And I didn't go and see her. And so I missed out on that particular buzz. I think if I had seen her, it might have made a big difference. And just listening to it as an album, it sounds rather like a lot of other nice West African young female singers who play the guitar. You know, all good, very listenable. But I couldn't quite see why this one, except that this one's out this year and some of the others weren't out this year. Mm-hmm. You know, there have been other ones over the years.
I think she's definitely one of these package artists. The album goes with the performance, goes with the girl.
Yeah, and that does help.
I heard her at WOMAD and she was absolutely gorgeous, fantastic on stage.
Yeah, and you come here, it's refreshing. I mean, it's light. It's not heavy duty Malian groove. It's something much more. I could say bland, but... Well, I've just said it now, it's gone.
So I suppose you're proof that the critics' poll is not a narrow one.
Exactly.
Amongst the hundreds of folk that are...
I'm not here to agree with it.
Absolutely not. There's a huge range of opinions
and
tastes. Yeah. So let's hear one of the other shortlists then. This is Justin Adams and Julde Camara, or Juju as they're now known. Not quite sure about that, but...
They gave in to it. People were calling them that anyway, Justin and Julde, so they had to give in.
If it works, don't mess about with it. What for you marks this album as something worth listening to?
Well, really for me it's the live thing. From the minute they started, Justin and Julde, they were just... It just something was different, you know. It was like, this is rock and roll. It's a bit like saying the White Stripes or, you know, something really stripped down but really working, really interlocking. And I've known both of them for quite a long time, but Julde, when he played with... Knut Reischer, a Norwegian guitar player, and they did a version of Baby Please Don't Go that was, it morphed into a West African thing. And he thought, this is just fantastic. And so I've always been kind of interested. Julde came and lived in Britain, and I thought, oh, wow, you know. And he played with various bands, but with Justin, who understands the Arabic thing as well, so they can kind of go off into that. And this album is, instead of being set songs, they're doing what, for me, is interesting. They're groovy conversations, basically. But live, you know, it just works. It's just joyful. And it kind of comes across in the air, whether you want it in your living room or not. You know, some things, maybe the Fatu album is sort of a living room one. But if you want to dance around, and it really, really motors.
And as you say, Julde's fiddle is one of those genuine boundary-crossing sounds that sums up really what they're about, that kind of howling fiddle.
And for those who don't know, it's a one-string fiddle. It's a reed. You know, he's only got one string on this thing, and so it's got all sorts of, you know, and it's not a beautifully wrought thing. It just howls, you know.
And it is a band set up now as well.
It is. They've
got a backline.
Yeah.
Well, let's listen then to the opening track from the album. This came in at number 4 in this year's Efforts poll. This is Juju and Nightwalk from In Trance.
Yeah.
Justin Adams and Jewel Day Camara from their album In Trance. Congratulations to them on making it to the top four in this year's F-Roots Critics Poll. You're listening to Mary Ann Kennedy here on World on Three, where I have the pleasure of revealing the albums of the year in the company of musician and writer Andrew Cronshaw. So we have numbers 2 and 4 in the album of the year winners, but we can keep our cards fairly close to our chest in the winner. There were, as I said, 11 in the shortlist, and we're going to hear the album that came in at number 3, a venerable performer whose imagination is as much in the concepts behind the albums as the music itself. Rai Kuder, some people have written about him, especially with the current economic situation. Like, he's the new Woody Guthrie for our recession, depression, whatever. Is this
no,
an appropriate
he's
way?
He's like the new Woody Guthrie. I mean, I think he's very good. I mean, I was a great Rai Kuder fan early on, and there was a middle period when he had to sell records, or they told him he had to, and he got all smooth around about Bop Till You Drop period. So he's back to the kind of raw stuff with that big swing that he's so good at, and the sort of mandolin, there's a kind of chunky mandolin cording thing going on. So musically, fine. And lyrically, he's written these songs, and they all sound like the traditional songs. They're often bendings of traditional songs to the current situation, in one case, he's talking about the president being a Texan, so he's obviously talking about Bush. I very much approve of what he's doing. I just wonder whether these songs will actually penetrate like Woody Guthrie songs. You know, but the whole point of Woody Guthrie songs is other people did them.
Yeah, sure. I admit to being a big fan of some of the concept albums. Chavez Ravine, I loved, and the one that passed a lot of people by, I think because it came hard in the heels of Buena Vista, was Mambo Sinuendo, you know, Cuba with Fintail Cars. Manuel Galban, who died this summer, sadly. Mm. But this, as you say, gets back to being gutsy. And a lot of the songs, whether or not, as you say, they have longevity, they are uncomfortable listening.
Oh, yeah.
You have to listen to what he's saying.
Yeah, I mean, the one we're going to play, in fact, is particularly, you know, it's not what you think. You know, he's writing in an American sort of Woody Guthrie sort of language thing, which draws on tradition, which I wish there were more people in Britain able to draw on our tradition like that. And Bob Dylan did it. He borrowed that English ballad way of talking and made songs that people listen to every word. And that's kind of what Rai Kuder's doing too. It's kind of a period piece about now. So it's a bit of an intellectual exercise. I mean, or for the listener, it's like, oh, that's smart. Whether it isn't pop music, you know.
It certainly isn't. It's real music, though.
Yes.
It has something to say.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Let's hear what this one has to say. This is, as I said, not easy listening. Christmas time this year.
Soon coming home from war. I'm so glad it's Christmas time this year. But they'll be going back to war again, I fear. Can't they stay for Christmas time this year? Now Johnny ain't got no legs, and Billy ain't got no face. Do they know it's Christmas time this year? But Tommy looks about the same, but his mind is gone. Does he know it's Christmas time this year? Charlie. Some requests. I bet he knows it's Christmas time this year. Military personnel might not be on his list. Don't he know it's Christmas time this year? All I want is 2 good arms so I can hold my kids. Then they'll know it's Christmas time this year. I'd like a mouth so I can kiss my honey on her lips. And then she'll know it's Christmas time this year. Because it's Christmas time, it's Christmas time. Yes, it's Merry Christmas time. Everybody stand up tall and cheer. Our children will be coming home in plastic bags, I fear. And then we'll know it's Christmas time this year.
So thank you, Mr. President, for your kind words and deeds. There's just one thing I'd like for you to hear. Take this war and shove it up your Crawford, Texas ass, and then you'll know it's Christmas time this year.
That's when you'll know it.
Flaco Jimenez having the last word in that track from Ry Cooder's album Pull Up Some Dust and Sit Down. That song is a perfect example of what the album's about. It, mm-hmm. In a world where people are expected to be spoon-fed their emotions and reactions, that is bouncing along, and before you know it, you're actually in some kind of nightmare world.
Yeah, I mean, there's a line there, now Johnny ain't got no legs and Billy ain't got no face, don't they know it's Christmas time this year? Tommy looks about the same, but his mind is gone. You know, and that slipped into a jolly sort of, you know, sort of Tex-Mex thing. And a lot of people would have given it, you know, lots of weight, and but they don't. They just throw it off because then you're listening. You know, you're listening to the song. You're not going, you know, I have to empathise with this.
On the one hand, it's something that people might not engage with just mm-hmm. because they can't or don't want to deal with it. But perhaps that whole treatment is going to allow these songs, as you said,
exactly
to have
that.
Some longevity, to actually percolate and stick, because it's uncomfortable, but you've got to deal with it.
Well, yeah, or you don't have to, but you can just listen to it as a happy, bouncy song and close your mind to the lyrics. And people do quite often. It's surprising what gets tucked into songs that people don't notice. And, you know, they're just dancing around not listening. But eventually it does come through. So, yeah, I mean, I think I'd rather have it that way than have it, you know, this one's really heavy and sort of slow it all down.
No, it's Ry Cooder at his best, I think. The album's out on Nonesuch. The label features twice in the shortlists this year, with an album in the next category, which is the compilation or reissue of the year, which is what we're going to turn to now. And we're going to have you on Tenterhooks just a little while longer for the album of the year itself. So a quick recap, Andrew, on why this category exists, because it didn't always.
Which the compilation
yes.
one? Yeah, I it's because people were putting old albums into the new albums list, I guess, because they liked them, you know, and so it became necessary to have a separate list. As far as I know,
well,
that's
there
what
were reissues and complete recordings.
I mean, yes,
Robert
what is
Johnson
a reissue
in 1986?
Yes,
you know, long dead, maybe, you know, settled his pact with the devil or whatever, but definitely not around. But it was a beautiful compilation and it deserved the award. But that was the breaking point.
My question always is, how long do you have to wait to be a reissue? It's like if your CD's gone out of print and you reorder some, does that constitute to reissue. You know?
But I suppose the awards exist to promote music, to promote live music, living music and recorded music.
Of course,
I suppose
in fact, it has to be said that the awards are really there to promote the music. I mean, you know, it doesn't, in that sense, it doesn't matter who wins. It's the main thing is consciousness raising. Mm-hmm. It gives us something to talk about.
So a quick recap on the shortlist. We have Home Service, Live 1986, Kate Nana McGarrigle, Tell My Sister, Hedy West, Ballads and Songs from the Appalachians, and two various artists, Bambara Mystic Soul from Burkina Faso, and 80s World Music Classics, When the World Was Young, which was an album that I particularly enjoyed. But the winner this year on the most excellent Cumbrian label, Fellside, is Hedy West, Ballads and Songs from the Appalachians. Andrew, for those of us for whom this is a new discovery, tell us a little bit about Hedy.
I remember getting the early, very early Topic samplers on vinyl, and as they came out, around about 1967, 8, something like that. And she had a track on a couple of those, and one was a sort of strange ballad, a fragment of a ballad called Fair Rosamond, with a banjo accompaniment, which was kind of strange. And it wasn't until I saw her that I clicked. It's like, wow. Did I just say it was like wow? Oh god!
It's all right. You're in that era.
Yes.
You're in the '60s.
It's taking me back. She was playing this very steady rhythm on the banjo and singing. It was almost like a drone. She wasn't singing like we all thought we had to do, like verse, you know, hit the line, hit the beat. She was just drifting across it.
And she was telling it.
Yeah, she was telling it, and she does. You know, she did. She died in 2005, and she was very impressive. Just, you know, unpretentiously impressive. And then my very good friend Martin Simpson and I, we later on, I mean, I met him some years after that, but we enthused about her together, and we both spotted the same thing. It's like, that's how you do it. And I live with that, you know, you can float things against things.
So I suppose this is a great example of why it is important to get these reissues and, yes, and compilations out so that 2011 ears can hear these fantastic things all over again.
Yes.
So let's have a listen then to this fantastic voice. This is Little Matty Groves.
One day, one bright sunny day, it was one day in the year. Little Matty Groves to the new church went, the holy word to hear, hear, the holy word to hear. The first to come down was a gay lady, next come down was a ree. Next come down, Lord Arnold's wife, the fairest of all three, three, the fairest of all three. She stepped right up to little Matty Groves and gave him this reply. Will you come home with me tonight, all night with me to lie, lie, all night with me to lie? If I go home with you tonight, it'd be at the risk of my life. I know by the ring you wear on your hand, you're Lord Arnold's wife, wife, you're Lord Arnold's wife. And if I'm Lord Arnold's wife, I know Lord Arnold's away. He's gone away to old England to see King Henry, to see King Henry. A little foot page was standing by. He took to his heels and he run. Run till he come to a broad riverside, and he bowed upon his breast and swam, swam, bowed on his breast and swam. He swam till he come to a highland gate. He took to his heels and he run. Run till he come to the king's palace, and he knocked the bell and hit rung, rung. He knocked the bell and hit rung. What news, my little foot page? What news have you for me? Are my castle walls torn down, or are my castles three, three? Are my castles three? Your castle walls are not torn down, nor are your castles three. Little Matty Groves is in your house, in bed with your lady, in bed with your lady. If this be false, my little foot page, that you're telling me, tomorrow the gallows will be made, and hanging you will be, and hanging you will be. He took his merry men by the hand and put them all in a row. He bade them not one word to speak and not one horn to blow, blow, not one horn to blow. There was one man among them all that owed little Matty goodwill. He put his bugle to his mouth and he blowed both loud and shrill, shrill, he blowed both loud and shrill. Hark, hark, said little Matty Groves, I hear the bugle blow. And every note does seem to say, arise, arise and go, go, arise, arise and go. Lie down, little Matty Groves, and keep my back from the cold. It's only my father's shepherd boy, blowing the sheep from the fold, fold, blowing the sheep from the fold. From there they fell to hugging and kissing, from there they fell to sleep. When they awoke at the break of day, Lord Arnold stood at their feet, feet, Lord Arnold stood at their feet. How do you like my fine feather bed? How do you like my sheet? How do you like my gay lady that lies in your arms and sleeps? Lies in your arms and sleeps. Very well, I like your fine feather bed. Well, I like your sheet. Better, I like your gay lady that lies in my arms and sleeps, sleeps, lies in my arms and sleeps. Oh, get you up, little Matty Groves, and all your clothes put on. It never will be said in old England, I slew a naked man, man, I slew a naked man. I will get up, said little Matty Groves, and fight you for my life. Though you've got two swords hanging at your side, and me not a pocket knife, knife, me not a pocket knife. If I've got two bright swords by my side, they cost me deep in the purse. And you'll have the better of the two, and I will keep the worse, worse, I will keep the worse. The very first blow little Matty struck, it wounded Arnold sore. The very first blow Lord Arnold struck, little Matty struck no more, more, little Matty struck no more. He took his lady by the hand and downed her on his knee. Now which do you like the best, my dear? Little Maddie Groves or me, me? Little Maddie Groves or me? Very well, I like your red rosy cheeks. Well, I like your dimpled chin. Better I like little Maddie Groves than you or all your kin, kin, than you or all your kin. He took his lady by the hand and led her on the plain. He took his broadsword from his side and split her head in twain, twain, split her head in twain. Hark, hark, the nightingale sings and the sparrows they do cry. Today I've killed two true loves and tomorrow I must die, die, tomorrow I must die.
Eddie West and Matty Groves there. Matty Groves sung so many times by so many people, but that rendition makes you want to sit and listen to the whole story.
Absolutely.
Well known as it is.
Yeah, and you can't help but listen. You know, I mean, there's some things I put on them at the computer or something and you can't, the record's finished and you, oh, did it stop? But you just find it, the words go in.
Congratulations to Fellside Recordings for that success in this year's Compilation of the Year in the F Roots Critics Poll. You're listening to Marianne Kennedy here on World on Three with my guest Andrew Cronshaw as we reveal the winners for this year. The third category that we're going to turn to now before revealing the winner of Album of the Year itself is the Best Packaged Album, which has been around since 2006. And I have to admit, I didn't get it at first because I, you know, wholly admit to being of the CD generation. I am familiar with what an LP is, but you know, CDs are what I've been around with. But this is actually a CD award. It's kind of trying to promote the actual hard copy thing in the face of what we've been talking about already.
Yeah, because I think, I mean, people might consider it sort of retro to cling on to CDs when there's downloads, but it's a different thing. Making a CD is like writing a book. It's a complete thing. And for an artist, you know, it's a complete statement, whereas downloads are just, they can dribble out or not. So, yes, and if people are going to pay the money for them, then we want them to have something good. And some people just put things out in jewel case and go, well, here's the music. Well, you're still paying £10-11 for it or something. And what these beautifully packaged things often don't cost any more. And I'm not sure whether the one that one does, but most of the ones I voted for, certainly, you know, they're an ordinary CD price or even sometimes a promotional thing, but beautifully done with lots of information. Some of them don't fit on the shelf very well. That's the only
yes,
thing.
The one that won doesn't yes. fit into either my DVD shaped bit or my CD shaped bit. It's going to sit on the top, but it's definitely going to sit in the library.
Well, it deserves it, mind you. Where some of the ones that don't fit, you think it's lying around. People go, "Oh, this is interesting." No, it's not. It's a terrible record. It's just got a big package.
But world music is a genre. If we're going to talk about it as a genre, it is a kind of music, and the labels that are involved, because of their passion, I suppose, they are an area of music that do this kind of thing really well.
Yeah, and I mean, particularly with reissues or with archive recordings, where you want people to understand you value this. And you can actually draw attention to. I released a thing where I wanted people to listen again to Village Music, and by giving it a nice package, they went, "Oh, you mean you're taking this seriously? Oh, maybe I should at least give it a listen." Whereas if it just come out in a jewel case, you know, going, yeah, another one.
Well, I wholeheartedly agree with the winner of this year's award. It is Jonathan Ward's Opika Pende, Africa, at 78 RPM, and it is. Apart from the fact that it doesn't fit on my shelf, it is a thing of beauty before you've even listened to any one of the four CDs, and just packed full of information. Just a little bit of the background to this.
Well, it's a Georgia, as in USA, Georgia USA label, Duster Digital, and every one of their packages is different. It isn't like they've got a sort of standard fancy pack they put things in. How they do it, I don't know, because even releasing something on a digipack and getting everything lined up right is a nightmare. You know, there's always something you haven't checked. How they just keep an eye on all this manufacturing, I don't know. It's making a book. It's you know, printing a book's hard enough. This is a book. It's a package which opens out. There are four CDs slid into it very nicely. And if you look at their website, I haven't got all the other things, but everyone is completely different, you know, different format. And they are nice things to have around, and they would put it in your bookshelf. It's just that then you forget they're a CD and you don't know where to find them.
Well, you're definitely not going to forget this. It is, as it says, a picture of Africa's recordings.
Yes.
in the era of shellac.
And also, it covers the whole of Africa. It isn't, you know, a lot of this stuff we get is West African, and East Africa's been pretty much neglected. And there's one whole disc that's nearly all Kenya on this.
Yes. The, They do go north, south, east, west with the CDs.
Yeah, pretty much. But it kind of balances it out. And they are old recordings. Yeah, but so not everybody will want to listen to them as the latest groovy, smoothie, shiny thing. But those who are interested will be proud to have this on their coffee table and go, yes, I do listen to this.
Absolutely. As you said, Dust to Digital is the label. They're a reissue specialist. And I love that this collection was released in, I think, Los Angeles, at the Museum of Jurassic Technology. How perfect is that? We're going to listen to the opener to the second CD of the four, focusing on West Africa, but it's a Cameroonian track from the 50s, a French recording, although a lot of what was first recorded in the 40s there was by companies in the then Belgian Congo. Mbonge Dibui is on Ensemble, telling us of the virtues of true love. One of the glorious tracks from the Opika Pende collection, Jonathan Ward's lovingly compiled 4-CD collection of Africa at 78 RPM. And the label is Dust to Digital. Congratulations to them. So, Andrew, we come to the big drumroll moment. The F Roots Critics Poll Album of the Year. Don't tell us quite yet. Do you reckon it's a good one?
But yeah, it kind of sums up a whole sort of area, really. I've got a certain amount of connection with the singer, I suppose, in terms of the past, so I'm going to be quiet about it.
So a couple of quick facts. This is 26 years, and the awards, the breakdown over the years has been roughly 2-1 world to kind of folky roots, with kind of waves of fashion or taste, or I don't know what it is, but if you look at the list, it does sort of come and go. And if you know your F Roots Awards, you might have a notion then which way it's going this year. We've had two English artists in the last 3 years, and it is going that way again. Andrew, with your connections, be my guest.
This is June Tabor and the Oyster Band, and I used to produce June Tabor for a while. So this is June Tabor and the Oyster Band, Ragged Kingdom. This is the number one this year.
And they also feature very strongly in the nominations for the BBC Radio 2 Folk Awards. We'll come back to that a bit later on. It is, in some ways, a peculiar album to have happened, you know, having done the collaboration, what is it, 21 years back, something like that,
yeah.
And then coming back for a second go.
Yeah, I mean, it's partly because June's kind of back in action. It's good to see her sort of, you know, doing stuff again. And for me, the contrast works pretty well, actually. I mean, it could be viewed as kind of old-fashioned folk rock. But there are things about that that are pretty good still. We shouldn't ignore it and say, well, that was the 60s, that was the 70s, that was the 80s or whatever. You know, a bit of retrospective, mm-hmm. and saying, well, we've still got that. And the best bits of this, for me, do that. Some of the rest, you think, well, yeah, it's okay. You know.
And it is a music that has influenced other previous Album of the Year winners, like Jim Murray, like Eliza Carthy.
Of course, yes.
It's an ongoing cycle. So
yeah, it's something that England does. It's a sort of, it's one of the noises that, you know, we shouldn't be too embarrassed about, you know, the folk rock noise, as long as it's well done and it speaks, you know.
So, Album of the Year for the F Roots Critics Poll, June Tabor and Oyster Band, and the album is Ragged Kingdom. Thanks a million, Andrew, for joining me tonight, and of course to the F Roots crew. And so, from the Critics Poll Album of the Year, Andrew, this is your track selection. So,
yeah, this is Judas, which is a traditional song which hasn't been picked up on very much. But it's kind of a bit anti-red-haired people. But you know, you have to say, well, this is a folk song. This is what people used to think, like fox hunting songs. But no, just musically, when I was listening to the album through, this is the one that jumped out, and I thought, but the lyrics are quite, you know, tough.
Andrew, thank you so much.
James. who died by the sword. The biggest and the best was my poverty alone. Burn, burn, Judas, burn slow.
Thanks again to Andrew Cronshaw, and as I said, we'll be playing June Tabor and Oyster Band's interpretation of Bonnie Bunch of Roses a bit later on, nominated for the Best Traditional Track in the Radio 2 Folk Awards. You're listening to Marianne Kennedy and World on 3, where we've been revelling in some of the year's top albums, courtesy of the F-Roots Critics Poll. But we're going to turn now to a young duo who are just starting to make their mark over here in the UK, but doing it in style. Who's to say that their album, The Coming of the Holy Storm, won't feature in next year's awards? New Mexico and Seattle might seem a strange mix for an old-time duo, but Cahalen Morrison and Eli West are no ordinary mountain music act. Their stylings and influences might ooze Appalachia, but they're not afraid to take it into the current day through their own songs and tunes, and they've been accepted by the scene for it. They've not long finished a highly successful UK tour, and they were still a bit jet-lagged when they came in to Maida Vale to play the first session of their visit, but they were in very fine form just the same. Here they are, starting out on God's Rocky Shore.
One, two, three. Thank you.
said the hornpipes are blowing, gone out through the window, gone outside my door. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, the ships are in the harbor, sheep out in the meadow, chickens in a corn. Said, drive myself an anchor right down to the bottom on that ocean's floor. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, on up to the shower, the holy coming of the storm.
Absolutely beautiful, Cahalen Morrison and Eli West. It's a pleasure to have you here on World on Three. That is not the music I would be expecting from two guys from the west coast of America. Where do you find your passion for this particular kind of music?
All over the place, I suppose. It definitely comes a lot kind of out of the intersection of bluegrass and old-time music. But then I think we both have listened to a lot of Celtic music and a lot of jazz and classical and the whole boot, I suppose.
How do you define your own music? Because it does sort of sit, you know, it's got the sort of brother act voices of bluegrass, but then it's got the old-timey feel of the tunes. How do you define it yourselves?
Sure. I think we've kind of found a Bermuda Triangle between folk music, bluegrass music, and old-time. And I think with the songwriting, there's a big pull from the folk side, the harmony singing probably more from bluegrass, and then the instrumentation and arrangement maybe a little more old time. So
where are your own musical roots then? Because you're not from Virginia or,
sure.
You know.
Yeah, well, that's actually part of what makes our sound is that the both of us have very different musical origins. I maybe come from the more bluegrass oriented side, and my primary role is finding harmony parts, and Cahalen is more from the songwriter and old-time side.
Where did you find your own musical roots then?
My dad played music, so I kind of grew up playing with him a little bit and just hearing it all and attending festivals and things like that. So I grew up around it a little bit and just kind of morphed into this, I guess.
And I understand you guys haven't actually been playing together for terribly long. It's a really tight sign, but it's a relatively new combination.
Yeah, less than 2 years, probably a year and a half or more.
And how did that come about?
We have a mutual friend who decided it'd be a good idea to stick us in the same room. And Cahalen grew up in northern New Mexico. I'm from the northwest of the U.S., and Cahalen's sister lives in Seattle, and he was up visiting, and so we kind of made a point to play some music together, and
here we are.
Here we are.
And did something click straight away?
Yeah. I think initially in any setting where two new musicians get together, there's a bit of sizing up of each other that goes on. And then I think once we get past that, or got past that, I am really drawn to his songwriting and kind of take on old-time music. And maybe in part because it defines a clear role for me in mm-hmm. being the primary harmony singer.
Where does creating something new sit in the kind of old-time world? Is that an accepted thing in that kind of music?
It's a little troublesome, actually. You're pretty much shunned and banned from old-time circles if you try to bring new material. They don't like it very much. I mean, they like the music, but they like it in its place. It's not old-time. It's new music. So
the musicians that you would maybe play with and respect and have learned from, what do they make of your brand of music in general then?
They like it. Most folks seem to like it. They wouldn't call it old time or bluegrass or anything like that. But right. I think they definitely like it as long as we're not labeling it as something that it's not.
Okay. Yeah. Not too much of the newfangled stuff.
Yeah, right. There's a big emphasis in old time music on kind of a curating of big library of music that's, you know, come before, and I think if we reference that enough, then it works.
Why don't you play us a little bit more Cahalen Morrison and Eli West then?
All right.
Are you going to play for us this time?
The song is called My Lover Adorned. Dark rose the thunder, no lightning begins. For my young lover, no blessings did win. I'm just a man with all the plan, doing what any man would do. There lies my lover adorned beside her. Turn to aching and rain into snow. Her eyes does my likeness, her flesh does my hand, holding my own dear lover true. There lies my lover adorned beside her. If I had my way, I would saddle the sky and on up to heaven with my lover would ride. But I'm not a man, just a lowly cowhand, doing what any man would do. There lies my lover adorned beside her the horned moon. There lies my lover adorned beside her the horned moon.
That song just kind of sums up for me all the things that are good about that duo, and it's a favourite song as well. More from Cahalen Morrison and Eli West in session for World on 3 with me, Mary-Anne Kennedy, a little later on. So let's carry on with some more new releases. And first out, this is the king of the Kalogo, the Ghanaian two-string banjo, King Ayisoba, who hails from the northern part of the country. He's much involved in a Ghanaian-Danish peacemaking project called Sababas, and his own connection with music therapy goes right back to his infancy, where it said that he couldn't walk until he was given a Kalogo to play. This is from a sample album of his, Neri Nonge Amenga. Everybody should love themselves. It doesn't matter how poor your circumstances. No one is better than anyone else. Thank you.
another way to die, she cried. She cried. Fight me another way to die, she cried. She cried. Please find me another way to die, she cried. She cried. I don't know where to start. When everything falls apart, find me another way to die, she cried. She cried. Please find me another way to die, she cried. She cried. As I was walking past, and she was sitting down, she said to me, "Are you this fella?" "Yes." What a day. That love would shine. Life is precious. Down we go. Growing old. Find me another way to live, she cried. She cried. She cried. She cried.
How can you not be moved by that? Frank Yama, the Aboriginal singer-songwriter who hails from Central Australia. It's a voice that just grabs you wherever you hear it. It's not kind of otherworldly like someone like Gurumul, but it's rooted right in the world and it makes a direct connection with the listener. I loved this stuff from the first time I heard it in the summer. That was She Cried from that new album Countryman. And before that, Ghana's King Ayasoba and Everyone Should Love Themselves. Now, when you think of Javanese gamelan, the immediate thought, I suppose, is of the trancy gongs and bamboo flutes. But this next band, Samba Sunda, they've taken the core of the gamelan to create something all of their own. The name kind of says it all. Sunda, the name of their region of Western Java, and Samba, because they've added in some other Indonesian instruments and a hint of Brazilian samba as well to create this unique mix. They have a new album and they'll be touring here in the UK next year. And it's a tempting prospect after hearing this, I'm sure. This is the butterfly song, Kukupu, Nature versus Human Shortcoming. And the vocalist here is Nini Adrianti.
Thank you.
Samba Sunda and the Butterfly Song from their new album, Java. A very trancey kind of sound, so draws you in. We're going to hear more from tonight's session guests shortly, Cahalan Morrison and Eli West. But another track first from that fantastic collection of Corsican music from Radio France that we sampled last week. I'm going to play a voice and fiddle duet between Laurent Barbalossi and François-Philippe Barbalossi, Serenato ai Sposi, a fantastic thing altogether, a song designed to be sung beneath the balcony of newlyweds, promising all good things.
Thank you.
Laurent and François-Philippe Barbalossi from Radio France's Okora Corsican Anthology. Sadly, the notes don't tell us whether they've ever been called upon to serenade the newlyweds underneath their balcony. But anyway, we are going to return to that, I'm sure. You're listening to Marianne Kennedy here on World on 3, and time for more now from our West Coast old-time duo with a twist, Cathaillín Morrison, whose name comes from the Cuchulainn hero of his Gaelic ancestors, and Eli West. And they're going to carry on here with something new to the set, All for the Sake of D.
One. It's a dim and a turbulent dawn. Midnight goes creeping just like she done wrong. Home she lies creaking, just singing her song. Said it's a dim and a turbulent dawn. Said it's a cold and it is a cute. Hearts that do bind us all tear us away. What runs inside us will run cold one day. It's a cold and a curious way. I'm not afraid for that sun to set. Give my regards to her. Give my regards to her. Light of the past will shine as bright as it may. Dawn pours upon us as a river of day. What dawns upon us is like a river, they say. Trust in the night, it keeps the morning. Give my regards to her. Give my regards to her. She's been dragged over valleys and hills. Said all for the sake of day.
Cathaillín Morrison and Eli West. Now that's a song not on the current album, but all the material you're playing tonight is your own material. It's you've
correct.
Written.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm still getting my head around a music that is so rootsy but is still creating something new. Where do you feel that you fit into that kind of new Americana kind of roots scene?
There's, I feel like, a few movements in kind of the U.S. Americana roots scene, and a lot of it has to do with geography. I really enjoy listening to a lot of the, some people call it kind of chamber grass or highly arranged kind of orchestra bluegrass, and a lot of that can be associated with the Boston scene.
And coming through the Berklee school.
Yeah, so Berklee, NEC, New England Conservatory. I think the curriculum has a really schooled approach to improvisation. I think that kind of shows itself in the chamber arrangements of old
music. So this would be
music.
Coming through the likes of Daryl Anger and
sure, yeah,
performers definitely. Like that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Crooked Steel, Joy Kills Sorrow, that kind of sound. And the West Coast really doesn't have that formal structure in place. A lot of it's maybe a little more individual. There's some kind of older scenes. I wouldn't say older, like out of date, but just, you know, been around for a really long time. The Bay Area has kind of Laurie Lewis and David Grisman and these kind of stalwarts that created their own sound. But we're in Seattle, and there's not a big scene there. So I feel like we're pulling from a wider range of sources.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned Joy Kills Sorrow, who has a lead singer with very Scottish roots. And Cahalan, I know this particular trip is a special one for you, as when you hit Scotland, you're going to be assaulted by the entire Morrison clan as they welcome you back to the island of Lewis. This must be something quite special for you.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I have never been to Scotland, so I'm excited to do that. And a lot of kind of research on my family history has been popping up as of late, so it's fun to kind of get in on that. And
you have quite sort of artistic roots on that Morrison side.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I can't read it because my great-grandfather was a Scotch Gaelic poet, so I'm excited to maybe find some translations of that. I've only been able to actually find one that's been translated into English, but it's pretty exciting that the whole body of work is there.
And you'll be coming back to the UK in January for Celtic Connections.
That's great.
Do you see the connections between the kind of music that you play and the roots of what exists over here?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've recently been listening to a lot of Paul Brady from the 80s, and I wouldn't say that we're pulling from his styling so much, but I feel a connection to, you know.
You have excellent good taste. I want to hear one more song.
Great.
So what are we going to have?
We'll do a tune of mine called Lost Lovin' Gal for you.
Excellent. Thank you.
One, two, three, four. Said I went to see my lost loving gal. The road was rocky, but I made it somehow. She makes the April rains go shine, and I'll make a greased wooden wheel wine. Said I cut my teeth on my own head, and I lay where I made my bed. Said I'll make the 18 feel like time, I'll make the many. Go bake the bread and set the beans to boil. Set flame to the wood and turn timber to coal. Casting shadows on the ground. Dancing shadows on the ground.
went to see my lost loving gal. The road was rocky, but I made it somehow. She makes the April rainbow shine. I'll make a greasewood in wheel wine.
Fantastic stuff. Cahalen Morrison and Eli West. Thanks so much to them for the session. They'll be back in the UK in January for Celtic Connections, and you'll also be able to see the documentary following Cahalen's return to the Isle of Lewis early in 2012 on BBC Alba, the Gaelic channel, the TV channel, but you can find it throughout the UK on satellite. This is Mary-Anne Kennedy and World on 3, where earlier on we revealed the winners of this year's Efroot's Critics Poll Albums of the Year. And thanks again to Andrew Cronshaw for keeping me company on that one. I'm going to return to the album of the year at the end of the show tonight, as June Tabor and Oyster Band also feature very strongly in this year's Folk Awards. But time for a couple more before that. First out, an album that only a label like Tricont could put out. Bohemian German Bands from Texas. And this one is a classic from the Shiner Hobo Band. They're a band who sing in the 19th century Texan-German dialect of their immigrant forefathers. And the band was formed in the aftermath of the Great War, when the young lads coming home wanted to get back into the swing of community life. And since many dance bands had been disbanded during the war, this is what they did. And in style. You have to go online to check them out. They still look as if they have, well, a ball. And I believe they are still conducted with a toilet plunger for a baton.
Thank you.
The veteran Colombian harp player and his young dudes in the band Cimarron, completely joyful music from the Cattle Plains, and that is from their album on Smithsonian Folkways, Joropo Music from the Plains of Colombia. The track was The Sparrowhawk, El Gavilan. Before that, Will Quantic Holland delving ever deeper into the roots of Colombian music, the country that is now his adopted home, of course. That was Los Alegres Bucaneros, and it comes from Will's 55-track collection for Soundway, on the roots of cumbia, the dance rhythms of the Atlantic coast and of the big band sounds of Porro. And that is where I leave you for tonight. Thanks again to Eli and Cahalan, Paul Waiton and producer Roger Short in the studio, and also to Andrew Cronshaw for talking about this year's top F-Roots albums. And as promised, this is June Tabor and Oyster Band from their album of the year, Ragged Kingdom. But as there is the small matter of four nominations at the Radio 2 Awards as well, let's go out with a song that's been nominated as Best Traditional Track, Bonnie Bunch of Roses. Good night.
Hello and welcome to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night with me, Jonathan Swain. The one and only Olivier Messiaen to open tonight. No one else like him was there, a Catholic mystic, a twitcher, and a man bonkers enough in the 1940s to write a 10-movement Turangalila symphony lasting an hour and a quarter, scored for a vast orchestra, as well as solo parts for a piano and that electronic gate crasher into the symphony orchestra, the Onde Martineau. Well, in this Dutch performance from 1967, one Messiaen himself described as outstanding, Messiaen's wife Yvonne Loriot is the pianist, her sister Jeanne Loriot playing the Onde Martineau, with Jean Fournet conducting the Netherlands Philharmonic. The Turangalila Symphony itself, written immediately after the Second World War, and it is above all a euphoric reaction to the war being over. Messiaen himself had been a prisoner of war. His famous quartet for the End of Time is from his time as that prisoner. And the symphony's title, Turangalila, is a combination of two Sanskrit words, both of them rich in meaning, but lila is basically play and love, and turanga is time.
Thank you.